Hello, and welcome to another episode of Mike M's Weekly Reads, where we talk about the first part, we talk about books that we acquired. So in this one, I'm going to talk about a few. I haven't been getting a lot this past couple weeks, but for this one, we have Sergeant Fury and his Howling Commandos, number 13. It's a 12-cent issue. It features Captain America and Bucky on the first on the cover, along with the Howling Commandos and Sergeant Fury. It's a pretty nice cover. I would say it's a fine condition book. It's a really pretty book to look at. So the next one I got is I went on like a miscellaneous purchasing spree. And for this I have number 10 of Zoo Funnies Presents Nyoka, the Jungle Girl. And this is from Charlton Comics, and number 11, Nyoka, the Jungle Girl. So, really cool covers. Looking forward to digging into those. And then from King Publishing, I picked up issue 5 of Mandrake the Magician. This looks like it's right off the shelf. It's like fine, very fine to near mint. It's from 1967. It's a 12-cent issue. Looks really cool. Then we got from 1949, we have Jungle Jim, number 14. It's a 10-cent issue. And this is a King. It says it's a King Features comic. So I don't know if it's licensed, but the actual publication is under Standard Comics. And it says, featuring The Flowers of Peril, a thrilling adventure written and drawn, especially for this magazine. And it's got a Paul Norris cover. And a really cool cover is Jungle Jim swinging in and rescuing a damsel in distress off a canoe. Then we got 2 issues of Tarzan. From February 1955, we have issue 65, and this is almost like a near mint copy. It's a 10-cent issue. And then, also from Dell, we have issue 75 of Tarzan, which is also a pretty nice. This is probably a very fine condition. So that's what I acquired recently under miscellaneous, and now we'll talk about Mike M's Weekly Reads. Thank you. Hello, and welcome to another episode of Mike M's Weekly Reads. And before I get into the weekly reads, and I already talked about like comics that I've recently purchased, I'm going to talk a little bit about Baltimore Comic Con. Baltimore Comic Con, I've been going to for about 7 or 8 years. The first one I went to, I shared rooms with Keith Knutson, and it was kind of the first time I went to a con, well, outside a Super Show, that I didn't go with Barb. So it was a really cool experience because it reminded me a lot of Heroes. I mean, the layout and everything that is Heroes is very similar to Baltimore Comic Con. They're starting to get some extra space to bring in, you know, 4 to 6 celebrities, but it's still all primarily comics. And that's why I love Baltimore Comic Con. It's just full of comic creators, comic merchandise, publishers, etc. Like, you don't get any of the big publishers like DC or Marvel, but they do show up, like, you know, Dan DiDio and a lot of the DC writers are there, and they have a DC panel. And There's a lot of comic book panels, although I haven't been going to a lot lately. I usually go to like the Tom Scholey ones. The DC one I missed, but it was not due to me not wanting to be there. I just ran into an incident where before the con, this is the first con that I didn't sign up for a press pass because I didn't really cover it last year. So this year I am covering it. We already covered it in Gotham by Geeks, and we'll cover it on DC Noise. And now I'm covering it here. But I decided in my ultimate wisdom, because I didn't have a press pass that I would go late to, you know, I don't want to have to wait at all. And usually you don't have to wait at all. It's just me being more impatient and having to avoid a line at all. And I was like, Barb, okay, we'll miss an hour or two of the con. And we didn't get to go the night before. Let's go ahead and do a speedboat. And we've done the speedboat before. And I love going to the harbor and doing the speedboat. It's a hell of a lot of fun. And so there we go. You go to the pier. We get our tickets for the speedboat. We try to get Alan to go with us. Alan decides not to go. we get on the speedboat. And it was probably the best speedboat ride that we ever been. They can't go fast until they hit the no wake, you know, after they pass the no wake zone. But and Harley's decided she wants to play with her Doctor Who telephone booth. So if you hear a lot of squeaking, that's Harley Quinn. And today she, okay, Harley never poops in the house. Never. She's like the ultimate. She's such a good dog since the day we got her. And today she gave me those eyes because I went to the dentist to get a filling over my a permanent filling over the root canal I just had. And Harley Quinn! You crazy girl. And she gives me these eyes like, why are you leaving without taking me for a walk? And she just looks at me. And I'm like, Barb, you got to try to get her to go poop before I leave. And or before you leave, because I have to be at the dentist at 7 a.m. And unfortunately, she didn't go, so I was like, not looking forward to it coming home because I knew it was going to be a long day for both of us at work. And I came home, and I was like, wow, she didn't poop. But I walked around some more. I said, that's odd. And my little girl pooped on my backing boards like a good girl. She didn't poop on the carpet. I had a stack of backing boards there that were sealed. And she pooped on the plastic, so that's even better. It's a hilarious thing. But where was I at? Okay, we get on the speedboat, and it's one of the best ones that we've been on, because once you pass the, you know, you can cut loose zone and go fast. He kept on, like, doing circles, so we were going over our own waves, you know, hitting the wakes. So it was really, really choppy. And I decided in my ultimate wisdom that I wanted to wear my sunglasses, my prescription sunglasses, on this this speedboat. And it was real choppy, and I put my other glasses in a container and put it in my pocket. So I was like, you know, I've never done that before. I usually carry it in Barb's purse, but Barb didn't have one this time. So I just said, I'll keep it in my pocket. You know, we don't go upside down like on a roller coaster or anything. We should be fine. Well, I get off the boat, and I'm like, oh, crap, there's something wrong. So I was like, I'll find them. So we get on the speedboat after we've left, and I go looking for my glasses. Barb thinks I'm looking for my cell phone. So when she says, I'm telling the person the color of the object, they're saying, Barb's like, no, it's this color. And I'm like, no, it's not. And I said, Barb, it's my glasses. I have my cell phone. So we looked everywhere, like under every single seat, couldn't find my glasses. So I'm like, ah, shit, what's the worst that could happen is I go to the con, I have to wear prescription sunglasses all weekend, and I look cool. Well, I go back to the con for about 20 minutes. We run into Alan. I walk around, and I can't see shit in there because the lighting is really high. It's a really vaulted ceiling. And my sunglasses are really, really dark. And I say, oh, no. And Barb's like, well, you know what? We could call your doctor. It's Friday. We could get prescriptions sent to Lens Crafters, and we'll do that. So we go get the prescription at Lens Crafters, and it's pretty far. Like, it's not walking distance. It's like another harbor over, another inlet of the harbor you have to take. So we have to figure out how to get there. Do you take a taxi? And the traffic is like really bad in Baltimore on Friday if you're driving. And I'm like, you know what? The water taxi. Let's take the water taxi. So we take the water taxi over, and then we walk about, I don't know, it's another mile or so to LensCrafters. And sure enough, they're really awesome. They make me glasses. I have glasses. And then we get back on the boat to go to the harbor that we're at, and the water taxi, and that's cool. You know, we get there, and I said, man, I could get a whole hour of the con in on Friday. And it was a good hour. I mean, that 1 hour, I did a lot of things. Like, I got to meet everybody that I usually meet, like all my friends, you know. And I got to go get my piece of art from Andrew Peepoy, which was Sheena the Jungle Girl Golden Age. Had a snake choking her. And then I remembered that last year I missed out on getting Ramona Fraiden's art, because she pre-draws a lot of art. Like, she has a lot of sketches and, like, these squares, where you could get the larger ones for a lot more. She even sometimes had, you know, she's an awesome artist, and she's an awesome person to talk to. And I have, like, I don't know, about six of her pieces, including Metamorpho, A Plastic Man, a lot of the characters she worked on. She worked on the Metamorpho Silver Age series. And the other thing she worked a lot on is the Super Friends, the DC Comics Super Friends. So you'll see a lot of her issues in the Super Friends. And she was there. I think she's about 90. She's probably 89 or 88. And I got to pick up two of those pieces. I picked up a Green Arrow, and I picked up a headshot of Green Arrow, Ollie Queen. And then I picked up this awesome Superman one where he's got, like, chains, and he's breaking the chains over his chest. That was an awesome piece. So that was really cool. So I got those sketches. I got to talk to the Star Joes. I got to talk to a lot of people that are our friends. And then we got to go to a wonderful dinner. So I got an hour in. I got a lot done. I kind of, like, had very little time, but I did get to scout out what I was going to buy the next day. And I was like, you know, Campbell, Chris is my buying buddy. And we usually shop at a lot of the similar places. We're like, let's go spend a couple hours on Saturday and go buy comics, you know. So we went to our favorite Tomorrow's Treasures vendor. Awesome vendor. Me and Campbell have different philosophies about getting comics. My philosophy is start at the cheap end, because he has books that range from VG to fine to very fine, and then he's even got graded comics if you want to do that. And I'm usually looking to fill my collection in. So I start on the cheap end, and I'm always happy with the grades that he has and the books. Like, he doesn't really deal in modern comics. Everything that he has is Bronze Age or Silver Age, primarily Silver Age. And then when you get into the slab books, he has a ton of Golden Age. And he also told me that he's kind of liquidating. So he's not going to be doing cons after next year. So I'm kind of bummed out about that. He's going to be doing cons, but he's going to do it in a... He's just going to be doing graded comics now, which is kind of something I don't care for, because I just want to take him out of the slab anyway. So it kind of defeats the purpose. It doesn't work for me. But his pricing on graded comics is really, really good. And he always groups the comics. He keeps them simple. So, like, some will have price tags on it. Others will not have price tags in it. If it doesn't have a price tag, it's the lower number. If it has, so have, like, a $10, a $5 section, a $10 section, all going counterclockwise, a $20 to $40 section. And then he had this new collection. And then he has all the CGC stuff. And we did a lot of shopping on that day. Got a lot of Flash. I'm only lacking, like, I did the, I think it's 48 issues of Flash. And I have every single volume of the Flash from the Silver Age. Like, I don't, I don't have any All Flash or Flash comics starring Jay Garrick, but I'll have everything from Barry going forward, every single issue. So I picked up a lot of those. I picked up a lot of Justice League. I think I'm only lacking 20 issues there. Some Wonder Woman. Wonder Woman's in the Silver Age are usually pretty hard to find at cons because people just don't stock them. But when I do see them, I like to grab them. And I did a lot of Green Lanterns, and there, again, I'm missing like 20 issues. And then I have every single volume of Green Lantern except for the first Golden Age. There is a Golden Age volume with Alan Scott. And everything after that is Hal. So I'll probably never, ever have that Golden Age volume, but I may have one or two or three books out of it because I do sometimes spend big on the Golden Age just to get a few. Like, I was really big into the Freedom Fighters, and I spent a lot of money on getting that. But anyway, they have a lot of great vendors. And then I said, man, I did a lot of shopping on Saturday. I was like, I really, really want the first appearance of Ghost Rider, which is Marvel Spotlight number 5. And I want Marvel Premiere number 15, the first appearance of Iron Fist. And the reason I wanted 15 so bad is it's like I'm only missing 4 issues of that title. And one of them is the most expensive one, which is Iron Fist. And I found this other vendor right across from, I don't even know what they were called, but he was willing to negotiate prices with me. So what I usually do when I look at prices, I go around the entire con, I look for what people are selling, and Ghost Rider was all over the place. Like, I found one of them for like 500 and some, and the condition looked to me personally, is VG. I was like, what the hell, 500 and some? That's ridiculous. And then I go to eBay real quick, and I say, okay, what's this book selling for, and what kind of grades I can get it. And I did that same thing for Iron Fist, and I found that I was getting a good bargain for both books, and I was able to come down on the price with them. So I got those two for very, very good. One was CGC'd, one was not. And I don't know if those people who know me, is I have a thing where I don't like CGC. Because to me, a CGC book is just a display item. It's no longer a comic. A comic is defined as sequential artwork. And once you don't have it, once you seal it up, it's a painting or a display piece, or like a poster. And that's fine for the people that do that, and they're proud of it, and they display it. But to me, it's no longer a comic. So my brain works like that. We all of us have our quirks. And that's one of my quirks. So, and my brother Campbell has a very similar, like, he'll crack his open and put the CGC label in Mylar. Very much like me. Never done that before. I learned how to crack it. Actually, my wife did it for me, cracked it open, and we freed that sucker. And I probably devalued it, but to me, I don't give a shit. I have Marvel Premiere number 15. I can open it. I can smell the pages. I can read it. That's why I buy comics. So I can have it in my collection, and I can see them whenever I want. So it was a good shopping day. We had a lot of good meals. I mostly hang out with Chris Campbell and Daryl, who are my brothers. And Keith made a surprise visit on Sunday. We got to spend some quality time with Keith, which was great. Any time with Keith is a fantastic time. And so there I am with my family. And then, of course, you have Alan and Steve Raker and so many other great people. I met L.A. Rabbit for the first time and his wife, Lisa. Met another listener of DC Noise that listens to Star Joes. Have to look up his name real quick because I don't remember it. But I just became friends with him. Brian Lang, he was really nice. Really, really nice guy. He did a lot for Star Joes. He like made a poster for him with all their properties and stuff. But he like knew our podcast and he knew how weird our podcast was. and he enjoys it. So, really fantastic time. Got to go by Tom King's table and see how crazy his line got. Like, if you could see the progression of Tom King, much like Scott Snyder. You know, I've been going to cons long enough that, you know, early on, even when Scott Snyder was doing Detective, you could just walk right up to his table, get a signature, and be done. It was kind of like that when Tom was doing Grayson. And before that, you know, he had Omega Men and then once Crowded Sky, even before that, you know, at various cons. And I've seen Tom at all of these cons. So he had a really fantastic time. And the whole experience of Baltimore is great because you get to experience Baltimore. Like, we went to an Orioles game on Wednesday. It's like right there. So, like, if you time the con around the time of baseball or the time of football, which sometimes it does get into football, you could go see a game, you know, extend your trip just a little bit longer, go see a game, spend a day doing stuff at the harbor. There's the aquarium. There's a lot of things like ships. You could go to a bunch of ship museums. Those are fantastic. Edgar Allan Poe's gravesite, you could go visit that. We didn't get to tour that church that's there, but man, that would have been fantastic if I would have known the hours of that. But we did get to see his gravesite. We got to see M. Batts and Katie, and it was just so many different people. Got to see Bill Zanowicz. Also got to meet Bob Breetal, who's been on my show. He's got the Guinness Book of World Records for the biggest recorded comic book collection. I got to spend a lot of quality time with Bob. We got to eat a dinner together one night. We got to walk from the harbor back to where Bob was going to have to leave. I got to talk with him when we, you know, during the con. I showed him where Tomorrow's Treasures was. So got to spend a lot of time there. And, man, there was just a lot of stuff. I got commissions from Shannon Gallant. I always get Shannon Gallant. To me, he's a fantastic, underappreciated talent. Like, if you see his art, it's phenomenal. Especially before it's like inked and colored, it looks so detailed. And Shannon does a lot of wonderful things as far as the commissions, because commissions stress me out, man. They really do, because you don't know if they're going to get done. And sometimes artists will say, I can't get it done, I'll mail it to you, and then you wait and you're 6 months and 10 months out, sometimes a year before you actually get it. And that's stressful, especially when you agree upon, because most artists prepay. So they have your money. If you didn't have to prepay, you'd be set. You know, you didn't get done, I don't have to pay you. But a lot of times you do that, and commissions are getting expensive. When I first started going to conventions, I'm talking, it was like I would pay $20 to $40, honest to goodness, full figure sketches, maybe not colors, but full figure commissions, even inked. And now, and this is just a show, you know, like when I started going, man, I was 2006, maybe is around the time we started going, 2005. But yeah, I was spending very little on commissions. I would just go to any random artist, pretty named artists, like that have been working comics, say, I like this character, and bang. And then you'd always have it done. It wasn't stressful at first. And then as time grew on and artists got bigger and they started spending more time on these pieces and they get more and more people to get on their lists, it got, like, harder to do. And because the demand went up, the prices went up dramatically. And they've gone up. I mean, the sketches that I get are anywhere from like 100 to 250. And sometimes you could get somebody that hasn't even done comics for like 40 to 60. But Shannon's got very fair prices even at the ink level. And he's primarily gets people to say, can you do G.I. Joe? Because he's been drawing G.I. Joe, A Real American Hero. He's also doing Pink Panther for American Mythology, who's a publisher I've been following. Did a fantastic job with Pink Panther because Pink Panther, like the animated series, is told through motion and movement. And in comics, you don't want Pink Panther talking, even though in the Silver Age comics, he was talking. Kind of like Roadrunner and Coyote, you don't usually hear them vocalizing. But if you read the Dell or Gold Key comics, you'll see them talking. Matter of fact, Roadrunner rhymes. Baltimore Comic Con, a fantastic place because of just the surroundings. Evan got to spend some quality time on Thursday with Campbell, even though it wasn't a formal event like we usually have. It was kind of like a babysitting event where we'd go and hang out with his kids, and that was fun. Me and Barb always have a great time with Leo. We'd adopt this kid if we could. Just take him, because we love him. And his brain is very engineering, and I like the way he vocalizes things, and he's got this fascination with fans, and it's just amazing. But man, what a trip! And there was just a lot of laughs, some great times. And I can't recommend Baltimore enough. Artist Alley is fantastic for getting any kind of like small press, comics, as well as commissions. Like I said, I got Shannon Gallant to draw me a Batman because he's been working on Batman and the Outsiders for me. So far I have The Looker, I have Katana, and Batman. And I also found, like, he's got this awesome thing that Garcia Lopez does too, is sometimes he just takes his sketches, like his daily sketches, to the con and sells them. Well, I got like a full Atari Force, which was, you know, five sketches, not inked, but pencil sketches, but they're beautiful. I post them on Facebook, and it's Atari Force, and I've always wanted to set, like, Atari Force Garcia Lopez is fantastic. And the story reads like awesome. You think like it'd be goofy, like the video game, or how are they going to tie it to the video game? But it's an amazing comic. I highly recommend picking up Atari Force. And I got a Batman 66 sketch in that bin too. And I love that he does that. And one other thing that Shannon does that you don't see from a lot of, to ensure that he gets commissions done, you have to get on the list in the morning, and then once you get on the list in the morning, you get your commission that day. So he caters to the fans. Like, that is the way he works. And not a lot of artists do that. They make this list, and you don't know if you're going to get it on Friday or Sunday. And then I got another Andrew Peepoy sketch for Miss Fury, which is really awesome. I didn't expect to get that one, but he was able to draw me a Golden Age Miss Fury. I've been trying to get Golden Age sketches from, I got the Sheena, and now I got a Miss Fury from Andrew Peepoy, and then I got the Ramona Fraiden pieces. So I came home with a lot more pieces than I thought, plus probably the most comics I've ever bought in the other ones I got two Treasury editions of the Secret Origins of Supervillains, and that was fantastic as well. So, yeah, highly recommend Baltimore Comic Con, and the merchandise you could buy, the exclusives you could buy, like Boom Studios is there. Valiant was there. They had like a Generation Zero exclusive. I didn't buy it this time because I've decided not to get variants as much. But the other thing that you could get a lot of is T-shirts. And actor and actress signatures. So yeah, there is a lot there to be had, and plus if you could schedule it to be with friends, that's the glory of Baltimore Comic Con and Heroes Con, is just hanging out with friends. That is the fun thing about the whole experience. And so now we'll talk about the comics that were read. I'm going to try to catch up on some of this. This was the week that was near Heroes Con, but I'd have to look it up. This was for comics on June 13th, 2016 through June 19th. And again, the ratings are 5 love it, 4 really like it, 3 like it, 2 did not like it, 1 hated it. We only read 12, and I'm almost positive that this was during Heroes Con because I had taken the Suicide Squad trade with me and also Ghost Fleet, and that's what I had read. So, yeah, I'm almost positive this was why I didn't read that much, is because I was having a ball at Heroes Con. So what I had was only 1 Marvel, 7 DC, and 4 Dark Horse. We had for Dark Horse, and we had only 4 out of 5s and 5 out of 5s. There wasn't a lot; it's 12 books, just 4 out of 5s and 1 5 out of 5. So, starting at the bottom, we had Ghost Fleet number 5 out of 8. This is a Donnie Cates book. He's really, really good. I highly recommend Donnie Cates on any of his stuff. He was doing stuff at Dark Horse. One was Buzzkill, Ghost Fleet. I think he did Interceptor. There's another Dark Horse book that he was doing. Paybacks. Really fantastic. And he's now migrated his book, Paybacks, over to Heavy Metal. He seems to be now publishing at Heavy Metal, where he was kind of focusing at Dark Horse. But Ghost Fleet revolves around a lot of weird demonic stuff and truckers, and they're actually carrying stuff in the back of their truck, and you actually find out what it is. It is a really good comic. Highly recommend this book. It's like something that you've never read before too, at least I haven't. I mean, you could get like to US 1 from Marvel, which is an odd comic book in itself. That's the closest thing I can think of to Ghost Fleet. I did read US 1 too and enjoyed it. So that was an odd choice for Marvel. Marvel, during that time, they were taking some weird chances. They had like Super Pro, Team America, the US 1. I mean, just some weird titles. But they were all highly entertaining, in my opinion. We had Suicide Squad Volume 1, Number 3. This is a reread through the trades, because I am buying the trades and double-dipping on this. And it was pretty much the female Furies trying to break out Godfrey from Legends. And the Suicide Squad trying to prevent that from happening. We also have Green Lanterns, Number 1. This was the Red Dawn of the Hell Tower stuff. And they started to infect Earth with the Red Lantern virus. And only Jessica and Simon are there to stop it. And it introduces Simon Baz having the Emerald Sight. And it explains it a lot more. Like, he's had this before when he helped cure his brother-in-law. And he's had other incidents where he's been able to do stuff that other ring bearers haven't been able to do. And we have Batman Number 1, where we talked about in detail on Gotham by Geeks, but it's Batman pretty much rescuing a plane from crashing into Gotham, and willing to sacrifice his own life for that to happen. And it introduces Gotham and Gotham Girl at the end. And then we have Titans Rebirth number one. This started off better for me than it is now that it's running. Titans Rebirth was very linked initially into the Watchmen stuff and everybody getting to remember, like, Wally was there and he was like, he had to touch each Titan and try to get them to remember who he was and why they don't remember what they're doing. And then it kind of goes off into Abra, Abra, Kadabra. I want to reach out and grab you. But that's for a future episode. We got Civil War 2, number 0. I've heard mixed reactions on this, but I have really been enjoying this series. I think it's one of the better events. I don't know if they'll make me happy throughout the event, but I have been really enjoying it. It has Carol expressing the need to be proactive and use the Inhuman to find out bad things that are happening to the humans, essentially, and trying to be proactive to see the visions and act upon them, like go after Thanos, etc. And she also is the leader of Alpha Flight and the Ultimates, so that's interesting in itself. We had Superman number one. This is with him and his son. This is the pre-52 Superman that has gotten to our world since Convergence. If you want to see him first appearance in the new 52, you'd get Convergence and work your way through Lois and Clark into this series. And Jonathan, the boy, is actually learning about his powers, and he's terrified about them and accidentally kills a cat. And they get to meet the Trinity. So Green Arrow number one. This was my favorite of the Rebirth titles that week. It was Black Canary and Arrow finally sleeping together, and they work undercover who's trying to steal the homeless, and that kind of leads to the present issue five. Is, you know, it's 1 through 5 that's the first story arc, and then it looks like issue 6 will be the start of a new arc, which will be interesting. I look forward to reading it. I have it right now. And he's losing control of his company. He's also betrayed by his sister Emmy and Shadow, so that's very interesting in itself. And then last but not least, we had a 5 out of 5 for Suicide Squad number 4 by John Ostrander, which featured one of the most interesting characters, a racial character that hates everybody but whites, called William Hell, and he's a vigilante, and he makes it look to the general populace, how do you say that word, populace? I hate to pronounce that, but to the general population, that he's a hero. So but if you look at the things he's doing and the people he's catching, he's catching only Hispanics and blacks and beating the crap out of them. And if it's somebody that's white, he's letting them go free. He's an awful person. So the Suicide Squad goes undercover to get him. It starts Black Orchid. Key players in it are Captain Boomerang and Deadshot. Really interesting scene in this one. Deadshot actually goes inside of a William Hell persona. So there's two William Hells. And they're trying to prove to a bunch of people who's the right William Hell. And he says, I'm going to shoot this apple off of Captain Boomerang's head. And at this time, I guess all the time, you know, Floyd doesn't care for Digger. So he had an opportunity to kill him right there. Really awesome scene. The revisiting the Suicide Squad is like revisiting my past when this was my favorite book on the shelves. There's just something magic about focusing on characters that are villains instead of heroic characters. And the thing that's magic about Suicide Squad is you do have heroic characters, but you have characters that are willing to do stuff. Because you do have Rick Flag, you know, you have Flag, and you have Amanda Waller, and you have characters like Black Orchid and Bronze Tiger, and they're not being held with bombs in their head, you know, to go on these missions like some of the villains are, and that also makes it interesting. So that was my 5 out of 5, which meant I love it. The rest of them, I really enjoyed it, and I really liked them. And I thank you for listening to Mike M's. And if you want to get a hold of me, you can tweet me at Mike Myers Brunch or send me email at mike@comicbooknoise.com. You can find this on the Geek Brunch feed at geekbrunchpodcast.com. We on Facebook, we are under Geek Brunch Podcast. You can click the like button and follow all the episode items there. Feedback, like I said, you could do on Twitter, on email, or Facebook, or on the website, and I'll get back to you. Please leave an iTunes review. We really, really need more iTunes reviews on Geek Brunch. Would really appreciate that. And that's it. I will talk to you later. Bye-bye.